Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, August 30th, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com, and our phone number is 800-649-6722. Our email address is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. In case anyone wants to send us an email question, we can address that on air. Gold right now is $1,399.38. Silver is $2,357. Gold broke the $1,400 area a couple times this week already, and just based on the charts, it looks like that we've broken some resistance levels, and I think we're going to head higher from here. Of course, there's going to be volatility along the way, but I think we're on our way to much higher numbers in gold. Besides that, there's the Indian wedding season is coming up. We have the other things like the decision on the U.S. debt limit and so on. Just to give you some other updates here, the Dow Jones is at 14,784. It's down 56. Crude oil is $108.03. It's down 77 cents. Crude oil looks like it's still very strong, maintaining that $100 plus level. It seems like crude is going to continue much higher. And with the turmoil developing more in the Middle East, I think there's a good chance that we could see crude oil break its previous highs in the next year or so. So we'll keep an eye on that. Just to start off, we'll address a couple of questions we have here. We have one listener from Michigan, Steve, who is asking what we think is going to happen to the pensions in Detroit. And well, Steve, I think that there's definitely a strong chance that the city pensions will be cut. How much? I guess they're still discussing that. But there was an article we posted on our website at centralmetalscorp.com that addressed this issue. And apparently, basically what's happening is I think that the government and the Fed and the central bank is have decided that the, you know, city pensions and workers are not important, but bankers and insurance companies are. So in 2008, they decided to bail out the banking industry and the insurance industry. But when it comes to the real economy, looks like they're just going to throw it under the bus. And here's a piece from this article. The article is entitled "Pinching Pensions to Keep Wall Street Fat and Happy." It talks about the Detroit's emergency manager, Kevin Orr, thinks a constitutional guarantee is just a joke that you tell people to trick them into working. Even though the city of Detroit is legally a creation of the state of Michigan, Orr believes that he can ignore the state constitution and pursue a federal bankruptcy that could have workers' pensions cut by as much as 90%. So, Stephen, it looks like that the direction this is going is the pensions will be cut. How much and which pensions? I guess that's yet to be determined. but it doesn't look good. And the spinoff of this, it's going to create a lot of problems in Detroit. You can imagine if the policemen and fire workers and firemen and other city workers, they stop working, or if they're not happy with their pension, you can imagine what kind of job they're going to be doing. You know, potentially policemen will not arrest anybody or arrest people and steal their money. Firemen will just let houses burn down. City workers won't take care of the streets. The streets will be in disaster. You drive through Detroit now, and you can see in some of the bad areas, it's just a complete disaster. I drove down Van Dyke Road this week, and the housing and the buildings there it's just incredible. It's deserted. Van Dyke, practically every business along that street is deserted. Windows are smashed in. Even some really nice buildings. You can imagine when you drive down Van Dyke, right from like Detroit area. Some of those buildings must have been really beautiful back in the day, like in the 50s and 60s. There's some beautiful cement and concrete buildings there that, the street is full of former businesses, but now it's like a ghost town. There's vandalism on all these buildings. The doors are smashed in. The buildings aren't even boarded up anymore. They're wide open, and you could see inside all kinds of debris, and who knows, if there's people living in there or whatever. But, it's just a disaster. And, unfortunately, it's a sad case. It doesn't look like that Detroit is going to get much help from the federal government either. They're, and also in this article addresses Chicago as well. It looks like Chicago is on the chopping block with its pensions, the city of Chicago. And, you look at who the mayor is for the city of Chicago is Rahm Emanuel, who, judging from his background, I think he's going to take the same position as this Kevin Orr guy with Detroit. He was a financial guy before. And he got into politics, and I think they're just looking to just feed Wall Street, make sure Wall Street's fat and happy, and the real economy is going to suffer. So, unfortunately, that looks like the way the direction of things that are happening, and it's a sad story, but definitely things have to change, and somebody has to get out there and come up with a solution and move forward. I know there's a lot of discussion right now about Glass-Steagall in the Congress and Senate. There is an organization that's pushing Glass-Steagall. Apparently, this is a solution that would be a step in the right direction. Stephen, unfortunately, I don't think the pensions have much safety there. Next question we have is from Dave in Singapore. He's asking what we think about Bitcoin. Well, Dave, when it comes to the Bitcoin, I really don't know that much about it. From what I heard, it's an electronic means of payment and so on. And right away, any time that I was right away distracted by that, just the fact that it's an electronic version of money, I right away decided that that's not something that I would put much faith in. So what you do is basically, let's give Bitcoin the acid test for money. Okay, well, what are some of the things that qualify something as money, to perform as money? Well, it's got to be It's got to be unique. Okay, it has to be fungible, meaning one unit has to be the same as another unit. It has to be recognizable. And what are the other ones? It has to be easily divisible and transportable. Okay, well, we have Bitcoin. Let's compare Bitcoin to gold. Okay. Bitcoin can be used as money. Well, one, just like gold, in order to buy the, first of all, in order to buy the Bitcoin, you have to use fiat currency to buy it, right? So right away, you need fiat currency to get the Bitcoin. It's not something that is tangible that you can hold in your hand, where cash is, okay? So right away, that to me, that disqualifies Bitcoin as money, okay? It's not something that you can hold in your hand and move it from place to place. Okay, so you have to use fiat currency to buy the Bitcoin right away. Whereas gold, on the other hand, you can hold it in your hand and you can go to a farmer or a storekeeper and trade him goods and services for that gold coin or silver coin, whatever the case may be. Okay, so right away, to me, that disqualifies it. Well, is it unique? Meaning, can it, you know, is it rare? Well, gold, everybody knows, is rare. It takes a lot of energy and labor to create a gold coin. First, you got to find it. It's hard to find. Then you have to mine it and refine it and so on and mint it. And okay, so there's a lot of energy required going into producing a gold coin. Well, the Bitcoin, since it's electronic, how easy is it to create new Bitcoins? You know, how are they created in the first place? If it's electronic, I imagine they can create as many as they want. Okay. Another thing too, you have to keep in mind, if it's electronic, well, what if your computer's down or the ATM machines are down or the power goes out? You can't conduct transactions in Bitcoins. I'd rather have cash myself, paper cash even in that case, but gold is ultimately the best. You can still, if the power goes down, we've had a power outage here, you know, or if there's a flood or something and the power goes out, you can't conduct any transactions. How are you going to go to the store and say, yeah, I have a Bitcoin account, I'm going to pay with my Bitcoin account to buy that steak or whatever? I don't think so. Is it transportable? I guess it is. You have access to it anywhere you are around the world, so you can buy goods and services with these Bitcoins, I guess. But just the fact that, you know, it's easy to create, you know, it's electronic. I really don't put much faith in it. One, it's new. Okay, gold as money has been around for thousands of years, so it has a proven track record. I know we're in the electronic age, but you have to remember, folks, that electronics can be disabled. Electronics, can have a power outage and so on. So another thing is, how private is it? If it's too electronic, you know, I imagine a hacker can get in and access your account. So I don't know. It seems that the Bitcoin is gaining some ground and a lot of people are interested in it. Personally, I've never really done much research on it, and just the fact that it's an electronic type of currency, I don't see much use in it, to tell you the truth. Especially in this day and age where, you know, we have enough fiat currencies around the world, we don't need now an electronic fiat currency. What good is that? So, I mean, right now, we have every currency around the world is a fiat currency. It's backed by nothing. So governments and central banks can create as much as they want. What's holding Bitcoin back? Now, if Bitcoin was backed by gold in a vault or something like that, then that's a different story. You know, then it might qualify as real money. But like I said, I just do the acid test for Bitcoin, and if it fails the acid test for money, I wouldn't put much faith in it to last much longer. Maybe it's just going to be a fad. I don't know. Regarding gold coins, some other news that's coming out this week, we have the Canadian Mint apparently is breaking all-time records in their sales in gold and silver maples. It's unbelievable. They're even beating they're beating the U.S. Mint in their gold coin sales. The Canadian Mint here is from their website actually. The silver maple sales have increased 60% year over year since 2000. Since last 2012 second quarter. So silver maple leaves have increased 6.4 million compared to 4 million in 2012, second quarter. And gold maple leaves are up 144% compared to last year's second quarter result. Let's see if they have give you a number here of the gold maple leaf sales. Sorry, folks, just bear with me for 1 second here. I'm reading through the article. They sold, the fiscal report is showing 403,000 ounces of gold maple leaves sold in 2013 as of June 29th. So that's incredible. And where last year they had 165,000. The silver maple leaf ounces were, like I said earlier, 4.6 million compared to 4 million from last year. So not only the Canadian Mint, but also that came out this week was the Austrian Mint increases gold sales as prices decline. The Austrian Mint, which mints the Philharmonic coins, which we have carried those before. We don't get much demand, but if anyone's interested, we can get you gold Philharmonics or silver Philharmonics. The premium is a little bit higher than the gold and silver maples, but it is a government issued coin, and they are beautiful coins. But I really don't see much reason to own specifically Austrian coins or any other gold coins with special value. I mean, if you want a bullion coin, you try and find what's the most cost-effective way to get them. If you want to have a few special ones just for keepsakes, then, yeah, sure, that's fine. Investment purposes, what you want to look for is, high-quality, government-issued bullion coins for the lowest premium. So, and Canadian Maple Leaf is still one of the coins that has the lowest premium on them. Anyways, regarding the Austrian coin, apparently their gold coin sales rose 79% from last year. They sold almost 400,000 ounces of gold. So, and this is based, too, on the, there's a big demand in Asia. The Chinese are buying gold coins, and India is buying gold. So the demand for physical gold is still strong. And this is the funny thing, folks, like we mentioned before in this program, you have an asset that's going down in value, yet the physical demand for that asset is going higher and higher. Which is kind of backwards thinking economically. When the price of something is going down, you'd figure that the demand, that the supply for that product is abundant, okay, and there's not much demand for it. Well, gold is, the physical demand for gold is high, which should reflect higher prices, right? When you have high demand, usually supply is low, and prices get higher, but gold, the price is down. Well, this is the paradox, I guess, of gold, is when people that know that the price is going to get much higher, they look for opportunities to buy low, which is the reason to invest, right? You buy low, sell high. That's the whole purpose. So gold now is, I think it's still a good buying opportunity for anyone that hasn't gotten in. You know, now is the good time to get in. And we've also had questions on allocation and what percentage of a portfolio to have in gold. And that depends on suitability. That's a tough question because it depends on suitability, you know, whether you're already retired or whether you're a young guy just getting out of college. You know, this is where, you know, it's good to have a good financial planner or financial advisor that understands gold to begin with. It's hard to find ones that understand gold and how gold fits into the picture. But I would recommend right now, you know, if you're in your senior years and approaching retirement or in retirement, I would favor more gold than silver. Silver is very volatile, and you want something that's going to steadily maintain its value. It doesn't matter what happens to the economy. So I would probably, if you're in your senior years, favor more gold, maybe 60-70% gold and 30% silver or so. As far as percentage of the portfolio, I would probably go right now, based on what's happening, I would go as far as 30-50% of a portfolio to be in precious metals, and then in that section, you know, diversify your precious metals into gold and silver, 60% gold, 40% silver, or whatever. I have many people are talking even higher percentages. I know that seems kind of high, but some people have 80% of their portfolio in precious metals. And you think that that's risky, but it's really not, folks. Putting your assets in precious metals, especially gold, it's really the most conservative investment you can make because, I mean, gold maintains its true value versus, you know, the cost of living over the centuries. Okay, you take any period in history, you know, a 10-year or 20-year period, you'll see that gold has maintained its value versus the cost of energy, versus the cost of food, and so on. Okay, and I mean, it has a proven track record, and there's no other asset that really has the track record that gold has over the long term. So it's not completely out of the picture to have half of your assets allocated to precious metals. Now, if you're a young person just getting into the investment industry and you have your whole career ahead of you, you know, putting a little bit more money in silver right now might make more sense because you can absorb the volatility over the next 10, 15 years. Silver, in my view, I think should be much, much higher than it is today. And aside from all the economic fundamental views and those things, you just look at silver compared to the other precious metals, okay? Silver is the only precious metals that has not broken its 1980 high, okay? In 1980, gold hit a high of about $850 an ounce. Silver hit a high of $50 an ounce. Platinum hit a high of $1,000. Well, today, gold is well above its 1980 high, which is trading at around $1,400 an ounce. It's almost double. It was a lot higher, but silver hit a high of about $48, but then it crashed, and it's right now $23, $24. And platinum as well. Platinum is over $1,500. and in 1980 it was 1,000. So if you just take the average of those three metals, even copper, sorry, let's add copper too. Copper in 1980 was $1.50. Today is trading in the $4 range. You know, so how come silver is the only metal that's outstanding? You know, there's something wrong going on, and we're comparing assets. You want to make sure you're comparing apples to apples here. So we're comparing metals to metals. And if silver is a byproduct of other metal mining, then it should be, you know, hitting the same percentage returns as the other metals. Well, it's not even close. So I think silver has a long way to go, much higher. I think if you take the averages of those other metals, what their performance is above their 1980 high, and you apply that average to silver, you get around $80 an ounce. Okay, so silver, in my view, should at least be trading right now between $70 and $80. Will it get up there? I think it will, matter of time. But, you know, I definitely think that you're going to get a better a return on silver than gold, for example, over the short term. I think in the next few years that we could see incredible returns on silver compared to gold. So those of you that can absorb the volatility over the next few years, silver, I think, is a good place to be. What percentage of your portfolio? I would, again, say if you're younger, have more silver than gold. And as far as percentage of your precious metals compared to other assets, you know, right now I really don't put much faith in the stock market and so on. It's too many factors involved that could be really risky. But again, you want to be diversified. So have a little bit of your funds in the market. Have a little bit of your funds in tangible assets like gold and silver, maybe even real estate. You know, have some cash available. And, you know, folks, you got to remember, being diversified doesn't mean putting all your money in the market and spreading it around. Okay, diversified is having different accounts, different asset classes. You know, some people that understand art and antiques, you know, you might want to put some money in that. I've heard that fine wine has been a good investment over the last 10 years. I don't really know much about wine, but, you know, for those of you that are interested in that, agriculture and agriculture-related investments, I think, are a good place to be. So either way, you got to do your research and make sure you understand exactly what you're investing in. Talk to your financial planner. And even in that case, you know, you want to make sure that you understand the investments that you're going into. Do your own research. Don't listen to everybody. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to your financial planner. Do your own research and be independent and figure things out for yourself. I think it's the best way to go. So that's all the questions we have for today. Let me just go through my files here to see if there's anything else we wanted to discuss. Oh, the Cyprus condition. Apparently, excuse me. Apparently, a funny thing happened regarding the Cyprus bail-in process. What they did, I guess apparently the Russian mafia had a lot of their money in one of the biggest banks in Cyprus, and they got bailed in, I guess. So what happened is that these bank accounts that had over the insurable limit got bailed in, and they received bank stock for their assets. Apparently it was a bankrupt bank, but still So what they essentially did is they transferred the ownership of this bank to the Russian mafia. So now the Russian mafia owns the biggest bank in Cyprus, and Cyprus is a member of the European Union, which is not what they wanted to do. So now you have the Russian mafia owning one of the biggest banks in Cyprus, and they're part of the European Union. So now, I mean, essentially these Russians can launder their own money legally in their own banks, which is, I guess, a situation that they didn't foresee. But who knows what they're going to do there. It's a very tricky situation. But, you know, I don't know. It's obvious to me that this system is broken, and it needs to be fixed. And hopefully we get a good solution soon. So anyways, that's Jeff Dunphy wasn't able to join us today, obviously. And he's hopefully going to be with us next week. So with that, folks, that's all we have for today. And wish you all a good weekend. Labor Day weekend here, and anyone that's interested in gold and silver or vault storage facilities, you could give us a call at 800-649-6722. This is Bosco Kacharovich from Central Metals Corp. signing off, and have a great weekend. Goodbye.